that guy ain't shit. Sorry ass motherfucker got nothing on me, right? Nothing.
Where the stars in this piece of shit?
I am Big Kev.
Why do they call you Big Kev?
Ooh. I am OG.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
I am Scapegoat.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
OG's not actually racist against many people.
There is no racial bigotry here. Here you are all equally worthless.
I'm not really angry all the time.
This is Kevin destroying the Toy Beast Legends box set.
Fucking garbage! Why?
You know how I know that you're gay?
How? Because you're gay and you can tell who other gay people are?
I know it's fun. You're like, hey, I found buttons. Let's push them to piss me off.
I have Amigo Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
BigKevsGeekStuff.com.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
Hello?
Hello?
Complications.
Why?
Post-operative complications.
Oh, yeah, I heard.
It's, look.
Is that why it's just you and I today?
That's why it's just me and
I
you.
I did hear there were complications.
You know, he heard, apparently, about the ribbing that we gave him.
Yes. You know why he heard it?
Someone told him.
I did.
Oh, was it you?
I flat out was like, hey, did you hear the show? No? You oughta.
I think someone other than you may have told
him
as well.
Oh, yes. I did hear that. Because
he told me someone other than you had told him.
Correct.
I believe.
Yes. Someone was expressing concern.
Well, listen, you can't go through these sorts of life changes without a few people knowing.
That's true.
It happens.
That's true.
And since we shared it with the entire audience, they all know it too.
And are supportive.
That's right. They
so
are supportive.
We've received nothing but supportive comments.
That's right.
From many, many people about Dear Scapegoat. And yes, so he will not be joining us today.
That's right. But hopefully he will be back back next week.
Hopefully.
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 So I guess we can get right into the episode. Of course, this is 359.
Wow.
This seems like a lot, right?
It
doesn't seem like enough.
Isn't it? Isn't?
But it seems like a lot.
Isn't our ninth anniversary coming up soon?
Yeah, like March, February-ish.
Is that when it is?
Yeah, we recorded it in February, but I think it went up in March.
The original one?
I think so.
No, that can't be right.
Yeah, I think we recorded it at the very end of February, and it went up in the middle of March. We recorded it at the very beginning of March, and it went up at the middle of March. It's March. It's sometime in March, so we're a month and away, a month and a half away.
Did it really take us that long to get the first one up once we recorded it? I don't recall that.
I believe that it did, because I don't think we knew what we were doing. Mr. Fantastic.
Breaking the fourth wall.
Mr. Fantastic didn't know how to write the RSS feed. We couldn't figure out how to update the website.
Right.
We were noobs back then.
Yes.
Now we're just mostly noobs.
Now we're not noobs, but we still have the same problems.
We still have similar issues.
We are experts that have the same problems that we had 9 years ago.
We are proficient in having the same issues.
I'll tell you what. It's been a long 9 years.
Yeah, it's been a long 9 years.
A lot of shit happened in that 9 years. A
lot of ups and downs. But that being said, we are still here.
We are. Still kicking.
359.
And we're calling it Fox to Marvel, quote, go fork yourself,
end quote. That's right.
Yeah.
So,
do you want to get right into that?
Well, I see no reason why we shouldn't.
Yeah. So we're talking about the brand new Fantastic Four trailer that was released by Fox. This is the Josh Trank.
Correct.
Not to be confused with the Roger Corman.
No.
One, which is probably going to end up being better than this flick. I'm flabbergasted. Right. About this trailer.
Did you see that? I sent out a second link this afternoon with the commentary. Did you watch it?
Well, let's talk about it. Just the trailer.
Okay, fine.
Because you're not sitting in it. All right, no. Let's talk about. I shouldn't need commentary from the director of the movie.
I agree.
On the trailer.
I agree. It was very enlightening, though.
So what? In what way?
In that they clearly don't know a lot, but they were trying really hard to cover it up like they did.
Yeah.
For example, Brian Hitch was not the artist that drew Reed Richards in the garage as a child. That would be a Kubert.
Right.
Because he's the one that drew those right. early issues of Ultimate FF.
So, right.
I know that's minor. I know it's technical, but it's not in it's, some regards.
The point is, I shouldn't need a director's commentary on a trailer.
I don't see how a family going into space and being hit by cosmic rays and them getting powers is any less sci-fi-y or scientifically possible than a family going into another dimension and getting powers. As a matter of fact, I think the rays make much more sense than going into another dimension.
Yep.
Traditionally speaking, going to another dimension doesn't lead to anything other than going to another dimension.
Correct.
And maybe bringing something back. From another dimension.
Like powers.
In this case, yes.
It's so
normally dumb. It's an alien.
All right. So already so many departures just from a casting and character perspective, and now this.
All right. I just want to say something very quickly. This might be a fine movie.
Is this a racist?
No,
a racist
it's not. Thing? No. I'm past that.
Okay.
No, I was never racist to begin with, but I'm at this point, I don't care about the casting.
Okay.
Other than I don't know that it's good. No matter what race the actors are, I don't know that I have faith in any of them
right.
to play any of those roles.
Correct.
That being said, this might be a really good movie when it comes out. I just don't think it's going to be a good Fantastic Four movie.
Yeah.
I was intrigued by the trailer.
Right.
This looks like it could be a cool sci-fi flick.
Yep, and that's exactly the conversation that most people are having. If they called this movie anything but the Fantastic Four and not use those names and anything else, yeah. it would have been a great... It probably would have been a really enjoyable, probably high B-grade sci-fi flick.
Exactly.
However...
Right.
The fact that they want anyone... to believe that this movie is going to be a fair and great representation, update, whatever it is that they're calling to the Fantastic Four mythos. You know how bad this movie is? Marvel doesn't even like this movie. That's how bad this movie is.
I hear you.
Marvel, no more, no FF comics, no support whatsoever of this film. Marvel doesn't even like this movie.
Well, Marvel wants the rights back.
Well, yeah. Well, they're not going to get them.
No, clearly not.
And now, even if they... This is the worst part. Even if they do get the rights back, even if
it's
they
so
do...
It's so ruined at this point.
It's so bad at this point.
Yeah, it's so ruined
They'll at this never point. Be able to come back. And that ruins it.
Yeah, no. There's almost no chance, at least in the near future, maybe
yeah.
20 years from now.
Yeah.
You know, or 10 years from now, whatever the reboot cycle is now.
Right.
Maybe 10 years from now, but certainly not a couple years. Certainly
nope.
not in time for Infinity War
nope.
or any of that
None
stuff.
None of that. Nope.
That's gone.
That Fox has effectively ruined the FF for Marvel films for the foreseeable future.
I think that someone handed in a script at Fox for a sci-fi movie. And then someone else said, we got to get another FF movie out.
And slam
the two together. They took the FF and
yeah.
they grafted onto
right.
a script that's... Because they were like, well, this is close enough, plausible enough that we could...
No,
it's not.
No.
I know people are going to bat or people are bashing on the costumes. Yeah, they look ridiculous. I mean, but I'm so past costumes at this point.
It's so
in anything outside of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
You don't even have to go to that point.
No,
that's
you don't.
Like, you know what? If the movie was okay, but you have to get to the costumes
sure.
in order to complain about something, that would be one thing.
Yeah,
that's almost the complaints about the first two Fantastic Four movies.
Right.
Where it was like, well, the casting wasn't bad. Well, the performances wasn't bad. Well, the thing kind of looked like batter dip.
But the other costumes looked fine.
And the effects were great.
Yeah.
And whether you like those movies or whether you hate them, that was the Fantastic Four.
At least.
I mean, yeah, Doom was terrible, but the Surfer was great.
Sure.
Yeah, Galactus was terrible. But at least those characters made sense. I mean, those were the characters.
It felt like the Fantastic
yeah.
Four.
And this doesn't feel like that no. at all. That said, again, we're going to get people who are going to be like, you know, I've already read one argument that was, oh, this is the same reaction people had to the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer. And
no,
look how
wasn't.
Great that. I'm like, no, it wasn't.
Not at all.
Who had that reaction to the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer?
Nobody.
Nobody. Nobody. Nobody was like...
First of all, no one knew enough about the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer to comment on the origins of the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Exactly.
That being said, the most ridiculous part about the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer, or all the ire I saw, wasn't towards Guardians. It was towards DC, funny enough. It was... DC can't put out a Wonder Woman movie because the character is too complex. Here's a raccoon with a machine gun.
Exactly. Was
most of the commentary. I mean, really.
Or that it may be too funny to be part of the Marvel Universe.
Or too obscure, perhaps.
Well, that. But they played it off as a comedy. Like, I mean, there were a lot of complaints. That said, comparing that to this, and also the fact that they felt the need to put out a director's commentary to the trailer.
Yeah, that doesn't...
It's embarrassing.
No, I agree.
It's desperation on the basis level of desperation. That's what it is.
You're right. It shows that they have no faith, that they had to put that out. It shows that they knew that people were going to complain.
Oh yeah,
they knew there were going to be concerns. So let's put out a commentary track to address those concerns.
Yeah,
but they didn't address those concerns at all.
They just wanted to make sure that everybody knew what was going on. Do you know why they did that? Because no one knows what the fuck is going on, and the reason no one knows what's going on is because it's not the FF.
Yeah, I don't understand the need. Really, it's funny because the Fantastic Four, I think, origin wise. The Fantastic Four, the classic origin, right? Really is probably one of the best origins to not have to update.
It's the simplest thing in the world.
Yeah. Groot goes into space, cosmic rays, powers. I mean, there's no need to update that. Exploration is very relevant right now.
Right. Think about this. If the rights had reversed,
right?
Them going into space after what happens in New York.
Yeah.
Total sense. Like, it makes total sense. They could have easily melded that in as part of it. Easily.
Yep.
And it is shit that Fox did this. It is shit that Josh Trank, that this is his film. It is shit that all these actors who clearly, I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt that they didn't know any better about what they were getting involved in. And that said, I'd watch Kate Mara read the fucking phone book if there was still such a thing. I mean, I would see her in any. I said this online the other day. I was like, I'd watch the Mara sisters in anything except this movie.
Right.
This is the Thor. This movie is the Thor. I'm treating it the same way I treated Thor when they first announced Thor.
Except
I don't imagine I'm actually going to see this movie.
Yeah,
just don't imagine I'm going to do it.
Two quick things.
Not pay for it anyway.
Yeah, no. So all of the issues that started out when this movie was announced and the cast was announced, all the Michael Jordan and all that is
it's Michael B. Jordan.
Sorry. Well, he goes into space, sort of.
Michael B. Jordan also, wasn't he just... He was just cast in something else, too.
Yes, probably. But I don't know what.
Go on.
That is the least of this movie's issues.
It's still one of them.
It is.
But having seen the trailer, it now leaps to the back burner. It is,
but you know what? If everything else was good and quality... It's easy to look over that. It's easy to say in your mind, okay, Modern Family could be mixed brothers and sisters. Let's get past that. It really is just a silly thing. That's fine. If it was a great representation in every other regard and that was the only slip, it's not much of a slip.
It's what we'd be talking about.
It is. But,
however.
But that would be the least of the problem.
It really is the least of the problems.
Also, I want to say, I actually think that at least the little we see, I think the thing looks pretty cool. It's a shame that it's going to be in this film.
What does it look like?
Well, we see
an orange rock that moves its shoulder or whatever that part of
it
is.
We get a pretty good feel for him from the back of him. At least you get a feel for the texture of him, at least. It looks better than foam rubber.
So what you're saying is he's not Michael Chiklis.
Yeah, but he actually looks... He actually looks like a rock monster. That image you get where he's not wearing pants. Yes, we know he's not wearing pants. The image you get of him not wearing pants.
Is he not wearing pants?
He's not wearing pants in that one image. He's pantsless. But, but that actually makes sense. I'm okay with him not waiting. That's like the, again, that's the least of the worries. Mm-hmm. He went through a transformation. Yes, his pants would probably, yes, the fact that the Hulk can go through that transformation but still keep his Daisy Dukes at the end is ridiculous.
Yep.
It's ridiculous. So the fact that the thing goes through a transformation and loses his pants, that's the least of our problems.
Definitely.
That's a non-thing. If he ran around the whole movie pantsless, maybe there's an issue. I suspect he's getting pants at some point. Just putting it out
some
there.
Some sort of pant.
I'm just saying, why not? But I think that this could be a good science fiction film. I just don't think it's a Fantastic Four film.
No.
The big Easter egg in the trailer is that in that one scene, you see a Weber dress. What are the numbers version of the Weber dress? What's that called? ISP, right? On the bottom of the screen. And if you put in those numbers into your browser, it brings you to the wiki page for Latveria.
Ooh.
So, you know. No Doom in the trailer, by the way. People were wondering, no Doom in the trailer.
Are we sure? Are we sure he wasn't in there? Because
I don't think you even see the actor that portrays him. Because
I couldn't make heads or tails of half of what was going on. No, so.
You only see like five people in the whole trailer.
He's not the kid on the ground going,
ugh. No, I don't think. No, that's
that Reed?
That's Reed.
Oh.
Yeah, I think that should have been an effect shot of his arm stretching, but there was no stretching because it was out of frame.
Are we sure that's his power in this movie?
We're assuming
that's exactly his power. Exactly. We should assume nothing. I saw the torch light up. That's about it.
And we saw the thing.
Oh yes,
we did not. True. Oh yeah, that's another thing. We saw the thing, which means that the effects are done, at least mostly done.
Some of them.
Wouldn't it have been nice to see a little like a Sue Storm with like an invisible hand or something? Give us a taste. Give us a taste of the invisible powers.
No, you don't want to let too much go in that early teaser.
I let a lot go
every early teaser. Early teaser. The film comes out in 3 months.
Yeah, no.
4 months.
All right. Can we move past the...
I don't know.
Fucktastic Four, whatever we're calling it.
It's awful.
What are we calling it for? What?
Go fork yourself.
Yeah, go fork yourself. There you go. All right. Let's move on.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Let's talk about the Ghostbusters. Let's talk about this.
Yeah.
All right. Again, I have 2 points on this. The four women that were chosen, I have no problem with any of those four women.
I don't know two of them. I don't know the two from SNL.
From SNL? I've seen some of their skits. They're okay.
Have they done anything outside of SNL?
I don't think so.
I'm just going to say it.
My biggest problem with this is that it's another franchise that doesn't need to be rebooted or reimagined. I actually almost would have had more respect for this if it was the future of the Ghostbusters while acknowledging the past.
Bill Murray has said when he was confronted with the idea that it might be an all-female cast,
yeah,
he thought it was an awesome idea, number one. Number two, he said it should be Kristen Wiig, and he said it should be
Melissa McCarthy,
yep, who he just worked with,
yep,
on whatever that
movie that other was, movie,
Saint,
yeah,
Vincent, I think, right, it was, right? Said it would be amazing if it was them. Now, Paul Feig, who is directing this, has now given Bill Murray, you know, made it an all-female cast, put the two of them in it, which wasn't really a big surprise. I think this ups the ante for Bill Murray in a cameo.
But not as Peter Venkman.
But if that's the case, who's to say they don't rejigger something so that we get an appearance from him or all of them or some of them? Well, who's to say?
Based on what I've read several times now in the last 2 days, this will not maintain any continuity with the original films.
Okay. All right.
And it is going for a much scarier tone.
Okay.
Than the original films. I had a pause there because that had to sink in.
Wait, what?
This is a comedy, folks.
Okay.
The scariest part of this movie is the library scene in the opening moments of the film.
That's it.
Where she does scary face at race dance. That was it. The rest of the movie, So not so scary. So even goes to the Gozerian. Well, not so scary.
Well, we know who is playing the Ernie Hudson character. So who is playing? So do we think Paul Feig? Sorry, not Paul Feig's the director. Do we think that Kristen Wiig is?
I think she's the Venkman? Peter Venkman. And what I think Melissa McCarthy is the Ray Stantz.
Okay, and that other chick, I guess, is Egon.
Is Egon.
So the other big question out there, of course, is who's playing Potts? Annie Potts.
No clue yet.
No clue.
Who's playing Rick Moranis?
Who? Oh, well, yeah, that's true. The other part that I found was funny was that Diablo Cody tweeted out that she thinks Eddie Redmayne should play the little office boy. Yeah. He's up for the Oscar this year. I think that would be really funny.
But again, you know, we're throwing out characters like Annie Potts and Rick Moranis, but if this is not if this is a reboot,
could be completely different.
Those
thing.
Characters might not exist. I might not be a Gozer. Might not be a Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man.
God, I hope there isn't. I hope it's not that strict of a remake.
To be honest with you, I almost don't want those things in there because that would help preserve the original.
Right.
I mean,
we'll see. We got a long time to wait.
A long time to wait. But we do actually. Well, not that long. A year and a half.
Yeah.
July 22nd, 2016.
Yeah, that's a long time, sir.
By then, we will have Avengers 2, Ant-Man.
A lot of things.
Episode 7.
Episode 8.
Cap 3, I think.
No, not Episode 8. We'll have the standalone
movie. We might have the standalone movie.
Depending on when the schedule is.
Yeah. Right. We haven't seen the actual release date. Correct. For that, so, all right, let's move on. Let's go with some X-Men related news.
Oh, back to Fox.
Yes. So Fox wants to bring the X-Men to TV.
Yeah.
This makes sense.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does. Of course it
absolutely
it does.
Doesn't.
Of course, if it's as long as it's not the actual X-Men or
that's what I mean.
Or if it's a B team, it makes
absolute sense. It is. It's like, isn't it based on Madrox? Wouldn't he be like the main character? I thought I read somewhere.
You know what? I did not read that, but it could be. It makes absolute sense to bring the B team on. Why not? And then you could somehow link it back into the cinematic universe. Oh
no, you know that they don't do that.
It's Fox though. At least it's all in house.
Well, that's true. Maybe they could link it to the FF movie.
I'm absolutely okay with them bringing a B team to TV. It makes sense.
I hope they link the FF to the X-Men universe.
I think they're going to.
No.
Yeah, I think so.
That's crazy.
I believe that I read that.
No, you didn't.
I believe that's been confirmed.
They really want to just really thumb in the eye to Marvel. Jesus.
Let's go with some other X-Men news.
Oh.
We have our new Cyclops, Jean Grey, and Storm. X-Men Apocalypse.
Now, I know that Jean Grey is Sansa from...
Sophie Turner.
Sophie Turner from...
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones, yes.
Ty Sheridan, who I have no idea who he is Cyclops.
But he was in Mud.
But he looks way young compared to the other two, doesn't he?
I think the pictures that are out now
are
older pictures of him.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. I don't think that he's done... I mean, has he done a lot of stuff? I know he was in Mud, right? With McConaughey? All right.
Yes, I believe that is correct.
Well, he was like, that was a couple of years ago. And all the pictures I've seen, I think most of the ones I've seen have been from Mud. So he should be a couple of years older now.
Yeah, perhaps. Yeah, he's from The Tree of Life, Mud, and Joe. Alexandra Shipp. Is from House of Anubis, which I have no idea what that is.
Nope.
But she was also in the recent Aaliyah biopic on Lifetime. I mean, I don't know any of them really, honestly, outside of Sophie Turner.
Right.
Is she good for Jean Grey?
Sure.
Sure, I guess.
Does she grow into Famke Janssen? Yeah, I'd say so. She's tall.
Well.
She's redhead.
Does she have to grow into Famke Janssen? I mean, technically, those versions of those characters don't exist.
Well, so. I mean, yes, they do, because don't forget, Wolverine goes to the future and they're there.
Yeah, but then by the time the movie ends, hasn't that all been rewritten?
No. No, I'm talking about at the end of the movie. Doesn't he see everybody at the end of the movie? Most people at the end.
I can go back and watch it. But anyway, could she become Famke Janssen? Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't. Look, I think I think as far, since I don't know these actors right. or actresses, I guess as far as looks go, sure.
If Jean Grey has to like cry a lot and be a wuss bag, then this girl's perfectly set up for that.
It's weird because I don't particularly like the character of Sansa Stark on that show. So I think she's an okay actress. I just don't like the character. So I'm having a hard time.
And since we haven't putting seen her in something else, anything else.
Right, and you don't know her. I don't know her from anything else. So. All right, let's go to bum bum bum. What else do we have? That's a rumor though, right?
Okay, so let me suss out this rumor with you.
All right, go for it.
I don't think Disney has the balls to reboot Indiana Jones while Harrison Ford is still alive. What I think the best solution for them to do is to get Harrison Ford to agree to do another Indiana Jones movie and have, what's his name?
Who?
Star-Lord.
Chris Pratt?
Chris Pratt be the grown-up mutt.
Okay.
And he hands the mantle off to him in the film, just like he's doing with Star Wars.
I could see that.
That is the only solution that I would ever accept to Chris Pratt being in that universe.
So it's weird because, it's weird because this is potentially, there's nothing confirmed about this, right? There's a lot of speculation and a lot of rumor.
Right.
Everything that I've said is Dr. Henry Jones Jr., which should be Indiana.
That is Indiana.
Right?
Yeah.
But I've also heard some people say that maybe he's a young Indiana and that this is like before the adventures that you see in Lost Ark.
Yeah, that's called the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles. We already have that.
I know that. But so, I mean.
No.
No, I agree with you.
And no Bradley Cooper at all, who's the other one being rumored to be looked at.
I can, honestly, I could see either of those people
in those roles.
I would prefer Chris Pratt if I had to pick one. But again, to be quite honest with you, I kind of just don't. I don't feel like we need it.
No. However,
go ahead.
A handoff movie. I'll take that in a second.
All right. I'll take that. I think Indiana Jones at this point, I think I'd rather than see a new film franchise, because I'm afraid of what the film franchise becomes and how it gets kind of, I don't know. I almost see Indiana Jones to me could make a really good kind of chronicle story. Like I almost think that like, a limited edition series on Netflix, something along those lines, like a mini series, eight episodes kind of thing. I think I'd almost rather see that than more movies. That's my personal opinion.
Yeah.
But I have no problem with Chris Pratt somehow taking on the mantle. It's just how it's handled and who he's actually playing.
Correct. I think if he's the grown-up mutt, that's the way to handle it. Because that movie stank. That should have been the handoff movie right there.
Sure.
Except that kid sucked butts.
Butts.
And the story wasn't really good. And, you know, and a million other things. But that said, they have an opportunity now to correct that.
It's just, the only problem with Chris Pratt playing the part is that, I don't think that I will personally, but are we going to start hearing the cries of Pratt fatigue? Between Star-Lord and Jurassic Park.
If Star-Lord was coming. No. Well, first of all, Jurassic Park's a one-off.
Right.
So
it's a one-off?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's a one-off.
Okay.
I think it's wrapping. I don't think they're moving into a new franchise with it. I think this is the end of it.
I think box office will determine that.
I don't believe.
I think if it does really, 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 really well.
Yeah.
They would have a hard time not moving forward with it.
Even if they did move forward with it, they don't have to move forward with Pratt.
Well, we don't know that because we haven't seen the movie yet.
Well,
we don't know his. We know he's the lead.
Right.
Whether or not it needs him to continue, we don't know that. We can't make that assessment.
You know, the lead didn't move from the first to the second Jurassic Park movie. They had to drag him back kicking and screaming for the third one. Right.
No, I agree. I agree.
I don't think we're getting Pratt fatigue from that. Are we getting it from Star-Lord? I'd say if those movies were regular, I'd say yes.
Right.
But those movies are so spaced out in between.
No, I'm just meaning if he ends up being Star-Lord and Indiana Jones or whatever character, you know what I mean? Like, again, I don't feel that way. To me, I don't get fatigue on an actor unless that actor starts to put out garbage.
Right.
Like, as long as that actor puts out great stuff, I have no problem watching that actor time in and time out.
We also have Cowboy Ninja Viking.
That's right. But that's what I mean. So he's in a bunch of projects over the next couple of years, which is good for him. Hey, man, he deserves it. But I'm not. But you know, people were complaining about Benedict Cumberbatch fatigue, and he's barely been in anything, right, at least genre wise.
Well, people complaining about that are clearly not using their brain.
Well,
McConaughey fatigue isn't a thing either. It's the McConaissance,
right.
You know. Ooh. So. Yeah, I'm not gonna say that we're gonna automatically get fatigued just because the man is getting some roles.
I hear you.
If he was a shit, you know what this reminds me of? Who's that dude? Who's the dude in Avatar? Who's the lead dude?
Oh, that guy who's never been anything
exactly
else.
Where? No, yes, he was. He was in like a whole shitload of movies right in
for
a row.
For like 3 years in a row.
I can't remember his damn name.
Yeah, I can't remember his name.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. But then he was in that. And then he was in Terminator. And then he was
in Terminator 2.
You know what? And he wasn't even that good of an actor. Also, and he was showing up in all those, shit. I can't remember that guy's name. But it's like he's turning up. He turned up in all that stuff back to back to back. And then he was rumored for everything under the sun. Everything under the sun. And but then he, you know, what? He faded away and disappeared. So
Sam Worthington.
Worthington. That's it. Go. Yeah. Sam Worthington.
So yeah.
And where is he now?
Is he going to be in the next Avatar? Is Jake?
I believe
As he's returning. Avatar as, 2, 3, the, 4, 5, and 6.
As the voice, over, right?
Many isn't, fucking things. Well, he did motion capture too, I think.
Body dead, isn't he? So, or whatever.
No, he was healed at the end of the movie, wasn't he?
No.
Yeah, because now he's actually an Avatar. Didn't they pull him out of his human body?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, so he's motion captured at this point. That's
it.
Yeah.
He's Andy Serkis.
Yeah, good for Andy Serkis. All right.
Did you see this one?
I did see that one.
Emma Watson to star in Disney's live action Beauty and the Beast.
All right. So I have two opinions on this.
Okay.
The first is I'm fine with Emma Watson being in whatever Emma Watson wants to be in. However,
I'd like to see Emma Watson in some things.
Yes, I know that you would. However, I don't understand that this need now for Disney to suddenly take everything from the animated to the real world. Cinderella is happening. Beauty and the Beast is happening.
Yeah.
So what's next? Aladdin after that. I mean, do we
they already
need
did that?
That?
It was Prince of Persia.
Oh, a Jungle Book I think is coming.
That was live action. That's been live action like 8 times.
No, right? I know, but this one is actually. I think the last one that came out was not Disney.
Oh,
this so one. This I, will be I think the next one is Disney.
Singing bears.
Yeah, but no. Snakes. Do we need the live action version of all these characters?
You know,
it doesn't always work is the other thing. From 101 Dalmatians?
Yeah. But they did another one of those. And those movies did bank.
Did they do bank?
It's been a long time.
With Glenn Close as Cruella
de
Vil?
Yeah. They did good money. Right? Yeah, it was. They did good money. But that said,
I guess Maleficent did okay.
Well, okay enough, right?
Yeah.
The point is, I think that if you're Disney, I think the fact that you can build on these franchises and not do sequels to them animated wise, but redo them live action creates a whole new audience. Wait, how many years do you think it's going to take before we get Frozen live?
Yes, I'm sure. But I don't know. It's to me, it's, you know what it is for me? It's a little bit sad for me.
Okay.
Because I would rather the Disney part of Disney do really what Disney does best. Which, in my opinion, is not
merchandising.
Live action. Yeah, no, which is not live action, which is animation.
Right.
I'm, and you know me, I'm a big Disney. I'm a big Disney fan. I would rather see Disney do animation, even if it's, you know,
I don't
Hero Six. Even if you know what I mean.
Like, I don't think it's a one or the other.
No, I know, but I feel like Disney, they try to sandwich in these live action movies, right? You know,
they've done that forever, though.
I know, but it feels more frequent, and I think part of the problem is not only does it feel more frequent, but it feels like they're just as bad now. They're going back to the well with stuff that we've already seen. At least Maleficent was
a different take. Well, they say this is not going to be directly pulled from the other movie either.
It should be called Beast.
Beast.
Let's give us a little, call it Gaston. Give us a little.
A way left.
Yeah, give us.
It's the Beauty and the Beast tale as told from the perspective of Gaston.
That's what I want to see. Right?
There you go.
Live action Little Mermaids coming up next. Call it Sebastian. The struggles of a crab. I want to see
crab's point of view.
Yeah, it's, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Ursula.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Give me Ursula. I would take Ursula. I liked Ursula. It's a good villain.
But here's the thing. I mean, you have to remember that although you may not be as big of a fan of them as you are of the animated stuff, Disney's done live action forever. And there was period there, like in the 60s and 70s, when they did way more live action shit than they did animated. And the animated shit they did were not that good. So,
yeah, I happen to like some of the stuff from that period, but some of the stuff from that period was, Well, you know, it wasn't those mainstream fairy tale stories. They got away from that for a while, and they did like a lot of that one-off stuff.
Fox,
you know,
and the Hound.
Fox and the Hound, but Robin Hood fell in that period.
Yeah, it was early in that period.
You know, and you had like Sword in the Stone, which was a little bit later, and that's hit or miss depending on. I like Sword in the Stone, but that's hit or miss with some people.
No, what about the other one? What's the great fantasy one in the middle there that we always forget about? The
great fantasy one.
Middle. That was based off of that book. Oh my God, I can't remember the name of it now. I'm embarrassed.
Animated?
Yeah. Not put out on VHS. I don't think it was ever put out on VHS. It only came out on DVD, and it was only a couple of years ago.
I don't remember.
Oh my God, what the heck was it? It wasn't Sword in the Stone, but it was like fantasy like that.
I don't remember. Oh, Black Cauldron.
Black Cauldron.
I like Black Cauldron too.
But that's the thing. Of course. I mean, like that kind of stuff. Was it the Rescuers or the Rescuers Down Under?
But they also did. They also did a lot more Disney, like Mickey Donald stuff during that period. That was also like Saludos Amigos and Fun and Fancy Free and Melody Time, which were all theatrical releases, don't forget.
Okay.
For Disney. So, but their live action stuff was like, what was the one with Kurt Russell and the tiger?
There was a whole bunch. I don't remember that one.
You know what? Not the tiger. He was a lion or whatever it was.
I don't remember.
All that weird shit that they did.
They did a lot of the great ones in that.
The Black Hole and all that shit from outer space. Yeah.
Black Hole. Tron.
Right.
I'm even going before the 80s. I'm talking about the Apple Dumpling Gang movies.
At least those were. I have less problem with that stuff because at least it's not they're not rehashing something that's already been done. They're not bastardizing their own material with that stuff. That's where I have a hard time.
They should do the flip though. They should do the animated versions of some of those older properties.
Yo, I would watch an animated Apple Dumpling Gang.
I would watch that
tomorrow if someone did.
Cat from Outer Space animated.
How has that not been done?
I'm in. Why don't they reverse their gears that way?
There you go. That'd be interesting at least. All right. I have one more thing that I want to talk about that's kind of big.
What?
David Tennant has been cast
to play
Kilgrave in Marvel's AKA Jessica Jones.
Spelled wrong.
Well, yeah. It's K-I-L-L.
Right.
G-R-A-V-E is the character's name from the book. The Purple Man. You might know him from the series. He's sort of like a puppet master type character.
Right.
In that he uses pheromones to manipulate and control.
Something.
Yeah. And he's a big bad in the Jessica Jones story.
Right.
David Tennant, of course, I'm on board with anything David Tennant does. Of course, now this is the second Doctor sequentially that we've had come to the Marvel Universe. So who's Matt Smith playing next? We have Chris Eccleston in Thor 2. David Tennant in...
Who could Matt Smith play in the Mephisto. Marvel Universe?
It's really? Got to be Mephisto? Someone... No, nah, it's got to be someone a bit goofier.
I was going to say something lighter.
Yeah, it's got to be something...
You know, like Impossible Man.
Yeah, slapstick.
That might be too much. Let's see. Yeah. Well, you know what? Why don't we pitch it out? Why don't we pitch it out to the listeners?
Let's pitch it out.
Who do you think Matt Smith could play in the Marvel Universe, and why? Give us a call at the GVM line
425-920-6050,
and let us know your thoughts on that topic. And you may hear yourself on an upcoming episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, and you may win a substantial prize.
You know, speaking of the GVM line, we didn't play it this week because there wasn't it wasn't a question.
Oh.
But someone did call in.
Oh, yeah?
With last week's secret word.
Someone did?
Yeah, it was George. And it was like, I have no idea why I'm calling, but I heard it and I thought I'd call in.
Well, thankfully, I've already received my prize from George.
Wait, I don't think that's how that worked.
What? I thought the person who called in had to send us a prize. Wasn't that?
I don't know. I think you promised a prize.
Oh, boy.
To the caller. So there you go. You're on the hook now.
Signed post-op picture of Scapegoat.
There you go.
On your way, sir.
That's right. That's right. Nanny Goat on the way. And with that, Big Kev.
Yes, we should take a commercial break on this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, which we're calling Fox to Marvel, Go Fork Yourself.
Ahoy, ahoy, and welcome to Game Stuff. I'm your host, Coke Logic. The point-and-click adventure game Grim Fandango has been digitally remastered and released for the PlayStation 4, PS Vita, and PC. The game has been a pain in the ass to emulate correctly, so not many people were able to play it over the years. But one of the few games lost to time is now available for $15 on the PlayStation 4, PS Vita, and PC. Resident Evil, the remastered remake, is now available for the Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC. It's the remake of the Nintendo GameCube remake of the original PlayStation Classic. Environments, character models, and lighting effects have all been redone, but it's completely faithful to the original game you remember. Resident Evil Remastered is available now on nearly all platforms for $20. And finally, rounding out our Undead episode, Dying Light is now available for the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. The spiritual successor to Dead Island, spiritual because there's an actual Dead Island 2 coming later this year, Dying Light is an open-world game where you complete missions while outsmarting and outrunning zombies. Parkour is a huge component of the game. From the short time I've spent with the game, I find Dying Light to be fantastic. The melee combat is kind of shitty, but I haven't had a problem since my strategy has been to avoid the zombies, which is a lot of fun. Dying Light is now available for the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC for $60. This is Coke Logic signing off for Game Stuff.
And we are back with this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 359, Go Fork Yourself. Don't forget, you can find us online at bkgeekstuff.com. Of course, use that Amazon code. We like it when you use the Amazon code.
Oh, yeah.
It helps support the show.
It does indeed.
You know what else helps support the show?
Money.
Our sponsor.
Oh, yeah.
There is no sweeter way to say I love you. For a limited time only, Dove Chocolate Discoveries is offering an exclusive box of 12 heart-shaped, these sound delicious, luscious caramels covered in milk chocolate.
Ooh, luscious.
And then sprinkled with pink sea salt and a red drizzle. And they look lovely too, I might say.
Wow.
Only $29 plus shipping and tax. If you go over to their website, will post the link online. You have until January 31st for the limited time offer, and there is a code. It's 6127D is the item number. So if you order that item, it comes to $29 plus tax. And, you know, we love the sponsors. And it is Valentine's Day.
Do you want to go in on a box of those for you and me?
For us? For the show?
Well, I was thinking we could maybe give them to somebody who may be in need of a little love.
He needs an ice pack. He don't need chocolate.
Wow.
So please continue to support our sponsor, Dove Chocolate Discoveries, Kelly Maloney Chesney, an awesome sponsor of the show. Again, $29 plus shipping and tax. These are 12 heart-shaped, luscious, caramel-covered milk chocolate sprinkled with pink sea salt and red drizzle. I like the sea salt caramel.
Yeah, mixture. Idea. That's a good thing. I really think
of that mixture.
I really think maybe we should get a box of those.
I think all of our listeners should get a box of these for their loved ones for this Valentine's Day.
Absolutely.
This deal, in order to get it, you have until January 31st. You have 3 days, people.
Do it now.
Do it now. Do not hesitate.
Do it now.
Of course, unless you're listening to this after January 31st, in which case I say, listen sooner, dummy. And
wow.
Sorry.
Listen, you lose. Sooner, dummy.
And there it is.
Can we just mention, now that we're finished with the sponsor and we are moving on to a completely different topic?
We are.
Yo.
What up?
The Cadbury thing?
It's messed up, right?
It is messed up.
That's weak.
That is wait, does that mean Cadbury cream eggs? I don't mean Cadbury cream eggs. I mean Cadbury.
No, it's
the ones that we like.
I think what it is that those smaller retailers and places like Best Buy, not Best Buy, Bed Bath & Beyond, that is that world market.
Right.
I think they can't import that stuff that's exclusive to overseas, like the Lion Bar and that.
Right.
But I think the stuff that Cadbury sells in the U.S.
Right.
is still okay. It's that, I think there's a weird line.
Huh.
Hey, this is what I say. Don't support Hershey. Support Mars.
There you go.
I have a family stake in it anyway. Support Mars. Get yourself an M&M's.
M&M's, kids.
That's it.
They're made in the USA.
That's right. We have some product that we'd like to discuss.
Do you have some?
I just want to quickly talk about
this. That one. And I'll do this.
This for me is the ultimate given. This was a moment of weakness.
Oh, come on.
This is am I going to regret this in a couple days?
I think I might want to get that.
This, of course, is the Star Wars Hot Wheels line of makes no fucking sense cars.
Mattel's only touch on the Star Wars universe.
Look, don't get me wrong. I love Mattel, right? But these are dumb. I'm sorry.
They've been making these for a while. Haven't they been in the parks?
I don't know. Have they?
Yeah, I think there were some versions in the parks.
There were Disney things in the parks. Like, for example, my son has the Pluto.
Yeah, those.
Hot Wheels car. Yeah, and yeah. He has the Donald Duck one.
Yeah, there were those. Yeah, there were those.
Those are kind of cute, I guess.
There were some straight up Star Wars riff ones, too. There were some
Star Wars ones, too.
Yeah, I'm sure there were.
Well, there is a Luke Skywalker, Darth Vader, Yoda, Chewbacca, and of course the R2-D2. The R2-D2 is a classic bubble top hot rod.
Yeah, I kind of like that.
I mean, I bought it because I'm an R2 collector. I hesitated for a really long time because I've been looking at this thing for weeks and I've been like, no, I don't really need this.
It's not going anywhere. So.
And then finally I had a coupon that was about to expire. And I was like, fuck it. But I don't know. I guess the Vader car is kind of cool. The Chewbacca truck is all right, I guess.
How you doing, Chewbacca?
I don't know. I mean, I guess. I love Mattel, but...
It's ridiculous.
They are ridiculous. It's dumb.
I'm sorry. I'm gonna turn this all around for you.
I'm not selling any of these.
I'm gonna turn this all around for you in a minute. Not with this thing. This thing I just want to mention. I'm gonna say hi ho to our friend George from October Toys and from Toy Break, who always keeps me in mind. When he gets lovely things that he knows I'll enjoy and probably never get myself. This is the Joker Batman vinyl figure from Pop Heroes from Funko. This was the Loot Crate exclusive.
Right. I think it's like either last month or the month before.
Right. So this was the only way you could get this version of this character was through that Loot Crate. Right.
Correct. You got to have a subscription that
way. Right. And it's kind of their typical pop. You know what the pop figures look like at this point. It's kind of Batman, but he's got purple. He's the Joker.
I mean,
he's in purple and green. Green hood. He's got the swirly eyes, the big smile on. It's a really cute piece. I'm fascinated that Loot Crate got something like this as an exclusive. I mean.
No, Luke. First of all, it's Funko. And Loot Crate and Funko are bedfellows at this point. Yeah, because they also had the glow-in-the-dark Groot exclusive.
Oh, is that one?
And they've got a couple of Funko exclusives.
Oh, okay.
So to me, and Loot Crate seems to be doing rather well. Gets bigger each month, I think. So I'm not surprised at the quality of it. Let me ask you this, though. As a Joker collector, that's a good piece for... It's a weird figure for me.
Yeah.
I like the idea... You know what bothers me? It's not the Jokerization of Batman.
Right.
Because we've seen that in the books before.
Yeah. I'm
totally down with it. It's the Jokerization of the costume, I think, that's a bit off. Like, I think if he was in the blue and gray.
Yeah, but just
or the black and
the
gray.
The swirly eyes and the white face.
At least, like, comic book wise, I would have a better reference point.
There's a Kit Basher out there now listening to you right now going, yep, I'm going to do that.
This is very bright.
Oh, I kind of like it.
It's cute.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with it. I'm just saying, like,
as Joker guy, yeah, that's a pretty good piece.
Yeah. No, I think personally, it would have more appeal to me personally if it was a more traditional Batman costume with the Joker eyes features.
You kind of, at some point though, at some point though, when you've seen the same sort of, the same sort of over and over again interpretations of the character that are just slight variances on others' interpretations of the character, it kind of gets to be like, meh. It's one of the reasons I love the Batman black and white statues.
Of course.
Because it's such a different take. Every statue is such a different take on the character. It's kind of, and that's what this kind of represents to me. It's a departure, if you will.
Absolutely.
From the sort of standardized version of the character.
I think as a Joker collector, it's got a lot of appeal. I think as a Funko collector, it has a lot of appeal because it's an exclusive. For a kind of on the fence Batman / Joker collector, it's not an ideal piece, but it's a cool piece. So kudos to Funko and kudos to Loot Crate. Look, let's be honest. If they did that shit with a Green Arrow figure, I'd have it in a heartbeat. So
kudos to George from October Toys.
Well, he's swell.
And Toy Break for sending us that.
Their live show, by the way, is what, next week, I think.
Is that next week?
I believe their 24-hour Toy Break is next week.
Please keep me informed about that because you know that I have no memory.
It's either next weekend or the weekend of Toy Fair. It's one of the two.
Oh, man.
So I will let you know for sure one way or the other.
The weekend of Toy Fair?
I'll let you know one way or the other.
Damn. Speaking of Toy Fair.
Yes.
Do you remember a little company that we used to talk about kind of on a really regular basis, but we haven't really talked about them in a while?
That's not enough information.
Okay.
There's a lot of companies we haven't talked about in a while.
Well, this company is the Tonner Doll Company.
Oh, yes. The lovely Tonner Doll Company.
Yes. Our friend Robert Tonner.
Yeah.
And his wonderful doll company. They're right up there in New York. They got a lovely spread. You may remember that Scapegoat and I took a trip up last, I want to say it was spring, but there's snow on the ground, but it's upstate New York. And it was last year.
And last year was
so it could have been any.
There was snow in July last year.
We definitely had a wonderful time. I know we played that interview on the show and we talked about some of the stuff they're working on. Well, the stuff that they were working on at that point has now come to fruition.
Nice.
So we're going to talk about one of those pieces today, and we're going to talk about more of them as we move forward because we are absolute big fans of the Tonner Doll Company and the stuff that they put out. And again, this kind of falls again into that sort of non-traditional, if you will, sort of take on these characters. And that's one of the things that we enjoy about Tonner. The other thing we enjoy about Tonner, of course, is the level of detail.
Sure.
The level of commitment that they have to putting out high quality materials, lots of posability, lots of everything is individual. What?
There's a no. Go ahead. I have my first comment. I'm waiting for you.
Well, what we're going to be talking about today is one piece that I've been looking forward to ever since Tonner let us know that they got the license, and that is the 1966 Batman, the Adam West Batman.
This is I think this is actually a great piece for them. I think because of the look of the 1966 Batman and of the costume, it's not that body armor chisel, right? It really was kind of almost a spandex suit.
It is,
right?
Yeah.
So Tonner's style with the clothing translates very well. I also want to say kudos to Tonner for correcting isn't the right word, and I don't even want to say a misstep, but for enhancing something that I always thought was just a little bit off on some of their male characters, and that's the hair.
The package?
yes, the junk. In the trunks, it's funny. the hair.
Uh-huh.
Like, I have a bunch of the Potter ones, right?
Yeah.
I love them, but I always felt like the short hair on the male characters,
right,
it never quite looked right when you took it out of that hairnet.
Oh, yeah, you know I know what
like
you mean.
The long, like Hermione always looked fine because the hair was always long and it fell into place. And Jessica Rabbit always looked fine.
Hermione looks fine.
This is not real hair.
No.
This is a departure from real hair.
Yeah.
On a male character.
And I think because...
But I like it.
Yeah, but I think because they... I think because the haircut that he wears is so short, and it's the 60s, yeah, it's got the product.
Yeah, it wouldn't have worked with synthetic hair.
I don't think it would have worked. I think this is the right choice.
But I think it looks great, though. I think that it's an improvement, is what I'm saying. I like it.
Oh, what do you say he is? He's bigger than 12 inches. What do you say about 15 inches?
Yeah, he's maybe in that 16-inch scale.
Yeah, and he comes... Now, just like we said, everything here is individual. So you have the boots. They have a zipper up the side, so you pop the boots on. It has... this is something I'm glad that they did, and I know you are too, OG. They did not do gloves. They did a set of blue hands and a set of flesh hands.
Right.
But the gauntlet, you know, the part of the glove that comes up the arm, that piece is separate.
Yes.
So you put that on with the blue hands, and you got yourself some gloves.
No more mitten hands.
Correct. No more mitten. Who? What character was
Jessica
that?
Jessica Rabbit had really bad mitten hands.
Was it Jessica Rabbit?
Yeah, she had those pink.
Oh, yeah.
They looked like
oven mitts.
Oven mitts. Yeah, it was.
No, wasn't it like Aquaman or somebody had...
He might have had them too, but Jessica Rabbit's the only one
that was... No, this is definitely the way to go here. Absolutely. Bravo, Tonner. That's a thing that we have been talking about for quite a while that they got to. And then, of course, the cowl. So the cowl is... Yeah, it's kind of a rubberized cowl. It's split a little bit in the back.
So
but it does clasp.
Nothing. Yeah.
So you put it right on his head. The likeness to a very, very young Adam West is pretty good. It's definitely a really terrific piece. So if you're a Batman collector, or if you're a Batman 1966 collector, can you believe there are people that are doing that? How old is this show? Is like 40 years old next year?
Well, Batman 66 is a hot trend. Can I just say that?
Wait, 40 is a 50. It's 50 years next year.
Can I just no?
Yes, it is. 66 to 16 is 50.
Yeah. The details on the utility belt are pretty good,
too. Pretty spot on. Yeah, it's one of the things we always talk about with Tonner is the level of detail that they do with these pieces.
It's a nice piece.
Yeah, it really is. It comes with the stand, of course. I think it's available if you check out Tonner. I think it's Tonner.com.
Right.
You can check it out over there and other wonderful Tonner pieces as well. Now, we have a bunch of Tonner stuff that we're going to be talking about in the next couple of weeks. This is just the first one.
Sure.
They have the Big Bang Theory.
Right.
License, which are some very interesting pieces.
Okay.
So we'll talk about those. There's more Batman 66 to come.
Are there more like villains and stuff to come?
I hope the Joker is one of them, but I haven't heard yet.
Right. Okay.
Again,
going back to one of my original comments in this piece, I think because of the style of those characters and the style of the costumes on the show, the Tonner translation is perfect.
I agree
with you. So I could picture a good Joker, a good Riddler.
Yeah.
I would love to see a Penguin piece. You know, my appreciation for the Penguin
as a character,
it's growing in my later years. It's weird.
It's Gotham, because it's the only good thing that you do with that hour of your week.
But even in general, like, I find myself when I'm looking at other toy collections online and I see like a Penguin in a collection, I'm like, I don't want a Penguin collection.
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, but I can't start another collection.
Oh, boy.
Could you imagine that? That would be an awful slippery slope. I'd go broke. I'd have to sell all my toes.
There's hardly any Penguin out there. Hardly any. There really is. There isn't a lot.
There's plenty.
There's not that much. What is there? 10 figures, maybe?
I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. I'm starting to get this weird appreciation for the Penguin.
I'm telling you, it's Gotham. Maybe. It's because you commit to watching that hour of shit because every of that week,
character.
And it's only because that character.
He's so good on that show. It's a shame that everybody else can't perform at his
level.
So
now you see that character in all of the toys and everything else.
I will say, I remember even going back to when New 52 rebooted, there was a lot of focus on Penguin when that rebooted because Joker was out of the picture for quite some time.
Right.
And it was really refreshing. It was nice. I'm just saying. Anyway, I don't want to go down that slippery slope. It's dangerous. I'm staying away.
So if you have Penguin action figures,
you're going to send them to me for free. I mean, I ain't say no, but
send them postage due.
That's right. I'll pay for shipping. I don't even know where we were. Tanner. So I would love to see have they done? They've done Catwoman though, haven't they? From that era. Or an not interpretation 60s.
No,
of Catwoman.
No, but era. I know the I'm reasonably sure that Julie Newmar Catwoman is on.
They didn't
the slate.
Do a Julie Newmar Catwoman already?
No, they did. I think they did Catwoman when they were doing just the comic stuff. I think they did Catwoman.
Yeah, but and right, so maybe it kind
no,
of
they
just
did.
Felt like a Julie.
They
Newmar
did
version.
Remember? No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. You know it. You remember what we called it?
No,
we don't. Called it the Shauna Perry.
Oh, the Shauna
Catwoman.
Perry Cat. Oh, it was the Jim Ballant.
Yeah,
Catwoman is really what it was. It was the purple jumpsuit from the 90s.
I think they did one of those, but there was another one that was all more leathery.
I don't remember. The Shauna Perry one, I think, was the all purple one.
Are you sure?
Yeah, because we actually did. That was a Live from Studio V segment, I believe.
Was it?
I believe so.
Oh,
that
okay.
was in Studio A too, if my memory serves me correctly.
That is possible. Yes.
That being said, look,
No, and Tanner also has Jupiter Ascending, we should also nice. Say. They're also doing a Wonder Woman line.
Okay.
Which is I don't even think it's called Wonder. It might be called like Diana Prince, isn't that her name?
Okay.
But they're doing her in different outfits.
Okay.
I think she has like a spy outfit and some different, you know, she's worn different things. So I think they're doing something with that. So we'll be talking about that at some point. What was your hesitation about Jupiter Ascending?
It's not getting great previews.
Oh, really? I heard the buzz is pretty good about it.
No, it was just screened at Sundance.
Oh, really? Uh-oh.
Yikes.
Oh, I thought I had heard good things about that.
Disjointed mess is what I'm hearing.
Wow.
Yeah. Oof.
I do want to see it, though.
I mean, the trailers look cool.
Yeah.
I'm all right with Mila Kunis.
Well, and if anything, the Tanner dolls will certainly be awesome. I know that they're doing at least a Mila Kunis in some fabulous outfit from that movie. And they're doing, what's his name? The guy who's playing like
the lead, but I don't.
The who? Dog. The guy's like, I have more in common with the dog than I have with you. And she's
I
like,
I
like
about,
dogs.
Yeah.
The hell's his name? No, the hell's wrong with me and names today?
What the hell's wrong with me? I can't remember any of them either. I'm afraid to say anything wrong because someone will call me out online
and slice you up
for misstepping. You know,
21 Jump Street.
You know,
who was in it? Jonah Hill and who?
Channing Tatum.
That's it. Yeah. Channing Tatum.
You know, you don't have to know everything, but you're supposed to know a little something about everything.
We know a little bit about things.
I don't even want to misstep anymore. I would rather just play dumb. And just accept it as I'm a dummy.
Well, there you go.
But that being said, I hear the wrap-up music playing.
It's definitely playing.
So it means it's time to say, don't forget, you can check us out online each and every week over at bkgeekstuff.com. You can find us over at the Twitter, at bkgeekstuff, at geekstuffog. And of course, Scapegoat is not here, but he is ScapegoatGS.
Correct.
Facebook.com/bkgeekstuff. YouTube is the same. Again, please continue to support our sponsor. Get those awesome chocolates in the next couple of days.
Yep.
Continue to use the Amazon link, and you can give us a call at the GVM line,
425-920-6050.
I wasn't sure if we were going to do it, but I figured we had to, right? It's the wrap-up.
That's
Even
what,
though he's not here,
it's what we're supposed
we still had
to
do. Okay, I'm just making sure I did it right.
This time.
And with that being said, Big Kev.
That's right, OG. On this week's episode, we talked about...
No. Did anybody die this week?
I don't know. Did anyone die this week? OG, we will end this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff the way we end all episodes, by saying good night, Barry Ingham, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Roads go ever on. Over rock and under tree, by caves where never sun has shone, by streams that never find the sea.